We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
We're already celebrating Christmas here at Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. We want to invite you to celebrate with us. My name is Chris Fluitt, and we love this time of year. We're going to serve up a fresh sermon series that we're calling Crazy Christmas. Crazy Christmas, as if Christmas needed to add any crazy to the mix. Anybody relate to that? Christmas is already normally a crazy time of year. But you add some circumstances to that, and it becomes real crazy. Families dealing with loss. There's an empty chair where a loved one used to sit. That's some crazy Christmas, right? Families dealing with financial strain and the guilt of not being able to provide. The kid names a toy and all you can hear is price tag. Yes. Families dealing with the overcrowded schedule. Let me tell you, three Christmas parties in a day is not something that you should try. No. All right? For the diet alone, don't do it, because you're going to eat. I'll just graze at everyone. Let me tell you, let's be honest with each other. You're not going to do it, are you, Charles? You are going to dig in each time, because it would be rude not to, right? Don't do it. How about families dealing with holiday season that is more and more forgetting about the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ? So here we are. We're celebrating Christmas, but we're forgetting to celebrate the one that Christmas is all about. You talk about crazy Christmas. Christmas is crazy. With the year we've had, it is likely that this Christmas will be a little crazier than the norm. Can you see that perhaps happening? Yeah. Will there be a government-imposed shutdown, lockdown because of COVID-19? I don't know. You may ask yourself, how are we going to have our family get-togethers under those conditions? What is the safe and wise way to do Christmas? What's the loving way to do that? And that's a real struggle. I don't know what you're going to do. Let's pray about that. I don't have an answer for you. And I'm not here to lecture you or judge you on your crazy COVID-19 Christmas decisions. You do that. You do you, okay, on your holiday celebrations. I'm here today to tell you that this is a crazy Christmas and that the first Christmas was also crazy. All right. The first Christmas was crazy. It was cray cray, y'all. Say cray cray. I think kids like 10 years ago used to say that. I'm about 10 years behind the curves. I am 10 years post-relevant at all times. So whatever they're saying, 10 years from tomorrow, I'll be saying. Check you out on it. The crazy Christmas story in your Bible includes things that make your Christmas crazy also. They were dealing with some of the crazy things that you are dealing with as well. Over the next weeks, we're going to talk about crazy family drama, crazy travel, and crazy unexpected. We're going to be doing those, and we want you to tune in with us. Bring your family with us. Bring friends with us. If you can't be in the room, be online with us and worship with us and be right in the presence of the Lord with us. So, if you're going a little crazy, let me tell you, you're not crazy. You aren't imagining the struggle. It's not fake. It's real. The struggle is real, and you are not the only one feeling this. You're not the only one going a little crazy. So give yourself a break. I'm going to give you a break. I suggest you give yourself one as well. Sometimes it is a relief for someone to look you in the eye and admit that they too are barely holding it together. Is that a relief sometimes? Look me in the eye. I am barely twitching a little bit. I am barely holding it together sometimes. I need the Lord to make it through today and tomorrow and the rest of the year. That is one of the things I really like about Redemption Church. I think that we do this well. let's practice for a moment. Look around the room and catch an eye with someone and give them one of those looks, one of those looks that says, OMG, I'm barely holding it together. Give them one of those looks. Right? I am not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect spouse. I'm not a perfect Christian. And you are not alone in the struggle. All right? Allow yourself to give somebody that look every once in a while. It's a real blessing to know that you aren't the only one alone in struggle. Can we talk about crazy family today?
Yes.
Few things are able to hurt you like a family hurt. The preacher should have gotten a free amen out of that one. Because it's true. A free amen. I need them, right? During the week, we count up all the amens. And if I have enough amens, I get to eat this week. So don't be stingy with the amens.
Amen.
During these holidays, people are jammed together in close proximity. Living rooms that usually only contain 4 people may contain 10, may contain 15. It will get crowded during Christmas time. And they actually go in, honey, can you go into the attic or can you go into the garage? And we have these folding chairs that we never use anytime, but we've got so many people, we've actually got to go to the, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And then you actually set up a folding table where the kids eat. I mean, it gets jammed. It gets really crowded. You may find yourselves around people with whom you disagree with politically, or even worse, sports teams. You could be in the family with a Philadelphia Eagle fan. I'm really praying for them. But no, there's really difficult conversations that get really pointed. Well, tell me. They'll look you right in the eye. Tell me how you could ever vote for so-and-so. And it's like, you're just trying to enjoy the giblet gravy. People who are unbelievers may be in the room. But worse, people that are hypocrites may be in the room. Come on, somebody. People who have hurt you in the past. And that's no laughing matter. We're talking abuse. We're talking lies. We're talking unkept promises. Secrets. People who just don't seem to like you. Anybody ever? Am I the only one that ever experiences that? They just don't seem to like you. And here's the worst. You have no clue why. I don't know why they like me. I mean, I know why I don't like me, but why don't they like me? I deal with that sometimes. I mean, and it's a thing. And sometimes it's not even that they don't like you. It's like they don't like themselves, and it comes out in their conversation. But you're going to be in the room with these people. People who are competitive. And you share that after scrimping together and saving, you went on a 5-day cruise, and they always have a one-up story about how they just took a 30-day backpacking trip through Mulan. And you know what? One of the hikers was fill-in-the-blank random celebrity. Tom Selleck, Magnum P.I., was their bunkmate. It's like, what? How can you compete with that? Sometimes my references are a little more than 10 years old. Tom Selleck, everyone. But you're going to be in the room with people who won't forgive you. And then no matter where you are in the room, they don't talk to you. They don't look at you. It's like they act like you don't exist and everyone feels it. People who don't invite you to the party. You might not even be in the room. You might be out of the room going, I wasn't invited. Well, we've seen some of that. Like, you see a Facebook picture of your family and you aren't in it. And they write, so glad all the family could get together. And they put it right on Instagram. And you're like, wait a second. I'm not in that picture. Oh, I love my family. Couldn't live without my family. So glad all my family's together. And you're like, you push like on it and you go cry. What? You know what it's like to be jammed in with crazy family. Now, you may be listening to me, and you might be thinking, I can't relate. Pastor Chris, I don't have crazy family. Well, then I really hate to be the one to tell you that if you can't think of crazy family, it's because you are the crazy fam. That's you. I'm so sorry. There is room in this altar for you, crazy fam, today. We're all loving you the best we can. You're actually the one we're talking about, so I'm so glad you're here, Marshall. Please get yourself together this December. I want to tell you that the first Christmas, it had crazy family drama. Did you know this? Don't feel so bad that your fam is crazy. Full of dorks, goofballs, dinglings, wingnuts, and knucklehead McSpazitrons. The first Christmas was full of just those kinds of people. A family that was absolutely crazy. This is an overlooked part of the Christmas story. In fact, I believe today I'm going to bring out something. As many times as you've heard the Christmas story, I think I have something for you today you may not have ever considered. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Verse 3. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Verse 7, Luke 2. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Joseph and Mary had to travel to little town of Bethlehem. Very good. Excellent. Because, why? This was his hometown. This is where he traced his lineage to. By the way, also Mary was from that same town lineage-wise. They both traced their lineage back to the same town of Mary. And so Rome forced them to go back to Bethlehem. Now, he would have had family and friends in the town of Bethlehem. Absolutely. It would have been customary for Joseph and Mary to stay with Joseph's family in Bethlehem, especially considering that Mary was about to give birth. Right? That's not just a nice family thing to do. That's just a decent thing to do. A woman about to give birth and you're related to them, you're putting them up for the night. No, you're not going to let them stay anywhere else. You're going to stay with me. Am I right? Wouldn't you do that for your kinfolk? Wouldn't you do that for your neighbors? You might even do that for someone on the side of the road if they were in that great of need. But where did Joseph and Mary stay in Jerusalem? They stayed in a stable with animals. And they laid the baby in a food trough, a wooden trough that animals ate out of. They put their baby in a food trough. Many sermons are preached on the unlikelihood of a king being born in such conditions. Those sermons are great. Come back next year, we'll probably preach it. But tonight, let's point out something different. Where was Joseph's family? Joseph's family, where are you? They were in Joseph's hometown. Where was Joseph's parents? Where were Joseph's brothers and sisters? Where was his aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, neighbors? Where were they? His lineage comes from this little town of Bethlehem. He likely had family living in this town. If he had no family living in the town, let's say they all moved off. I mean, he did, right? He's off in Nazareth in the area of Galilee, right? So maybe they moved off too. Well, guess what? They have to return also to the same place. They are all coming back to the same place. So if he came back to the same place, they would have also had to be in the same town on this night with him. You following me? Unless all of Joseph's family and friends are dead, which I would say is unlikely. Unless they just all kicked the bucket and died. I'm telling you that on this night, Joseph had family and friends in town. Pretty certain. 99.9.7.3. Too many points. Just like a sermon, too many points, right? And yet, Jesus is born in a stable. Yet, Mary is laboring in unclean conditions. Not in a home. Why? Why? Well, it's family drama. The first Christmas was a scandalous Christmas. Don't feel bad that you have disappearing family. Anybody have disappearing family? Gosh, whenever I need you, there's a way you could, it's a magic trick. You can make your family disappear at any time. You just need them all of a sudden and poof, they're gone. Maybe you can relate to that. Don't feel bad that you have family drama. Don't feel bad today. Don't feel bad that people are gossiping and whispering about you. Don't feel bad that you aren't invited to the party. The first Christmas, likewise, had family drama. Looking back at Luke 2, verse 5, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Mary was pregnant with someone else's child. Right? Yeah. You believe this, Christians, right? We believe this is God's Son, right? Jesus is the Son of God. Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus. I'm telling you, this is scandalous. Scandalous, absolutely. Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. She is not fully married to him. You understand this? They are pledged. Now, in Hebrew culture, the moment you pledge to marry, the moment you propose, you start acting like you're married without fulfilling the sign of the covenant, which is a honeymoon afterwards. You follow that? Okay. They were engaged, as we would say in our culture, but they had not yet joined themselves in holy matrimony. And yet, she's pregnant. Everyone knows there's something up. That's something you can't hide. You can't hide that. It's obvious. This woman is pregnant. Joseph, did you sleep with Mary? And he would say, no, I didn't. This is in every way scandalous. Scripture does not directly say this, but it is logical that the family of Joseph refused to acknowledge Mary and the baby. And that baby is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And because Joseph remains pledged to Mary, not only have they rejected Mary, they've rejected the baby. Joseph, as long as you are with that woman, we reject you as well. They offered no place for Joseph and Mary to stay. It's heavy, right? Verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. We're probably more familiar with the way the King James Version translates this verse. Let's look at it. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn, right? We've heard that phrase before. We often hear the phrase, there was no room for them in the inn. This translation makes us imagine that the Motel 6 was completely full. Right? That's how English works. When you say inn, we're like Motel 6, Super 8, one of those places. If it was a Holiday Inn, man, we're really highfalutin. At least that's how the fluids roll. Yet the actual Greek word is not inn, but it's guest chamber, guest room, or place of lodging. It's not an inn. It was not a business. It wasn't a little tavern with a guy renting out rooms that had no room. No. Joseph and Mary on this very first Christmas had no place to lodge anywhere. Not just in a motel, but anywhere. Every door to them was closed. Because of the scandal, every door had been closed to them. In the hour of their great need, far from home, pregnant, and near to giving birth at any moment, no one in the entire village offered a space in their home. No one. Not a couch, not a spot there in the corner, not the floor in the kitchen. The greatest act of kindness they received is that evidently someone must have let them spend the night in their stable. They were treated like animals. It's what we think of you. You can spend the night with the goats, and the sheep, and the chickens. Joseph, a son of David, in the city of David, slept like the shepherd boy David among the sheep. Like David, forgotten that time a prophet came to his home to crown him king. Forgotten son of David. There's some scholars, I don't know, I just read that they are able to trace the lineage of Joseph, and they find that he would have been the rightful king somehow of Israel. I don't know if that's true, but I can tell you this. He was treated far lesser than a king on this night. How are you treated by your family? Do you feel disowned? You feel a little forgotten? Man, I'm there with you. If you do, I'm really sorry about that. Really am. Are there certain doors that are closed to you? Are there certain parties that you're not invited to? You know that somebody's going to be opening up Christmas presents around a tree, and you used to have an invitation to that tree, and you don't anymore? Is there no room for you in your household? Is there no lodging for you among your own? Have you been shut out? Maybe when you go home, and you're actually there, it's nothing like a home anymore. Maybe there's something just totally up. You're in the room, but you are a million miles away from people's hearts. And you feel that. You can't fake that. You feel that. It's real. It's a real thing. And people can put on fake smiles, but you feel it. I understand what you're talking about. Maybe you feel like a stranger in your own hometown. I want to tell you this. You listen to me tonight. People write themselves out of your story. Say that sentence with me. People write themselves out of your story. The grandparents of Jesus Christ wrote themselves out of the story. They have names, but we don't know what they are. The aunts and uncles of the Messiah remove themselves from the greatest story ever told.
Yes, they did.
The cousins, the friends, the neighbors erase themselves from the story that mattered most. Oh, so close to the epicenter of the most important thing to ever touch down on earth.
Yes.
And to have written yourself out of the story. It happened. You listen, it happened. Your Bible says, blessed is anyone who offers a cup of water to a prophet. It says that you will receive the prophet's reward. Do you understand that? If you are friendly to and loving to a person of God, you will join in their success and in their reward. They literally could have given a blanket. They could have given a space. They could have given love. They could have given kindness. They could have given a meal. They could have done any of those things. We have record of none of it. There are people who wrote themselves out of the story. There are family members of Joseph who wrote themselves out of the gospel. Do you think this hurt?
Yes.
Did it hurt Joseph?
Yes.
Did it hurt Mary?
Yes.
During this crazy Christmas, you may have people remove themselves from your life. Listen to me, I'm sorry about it. It stinks. It hurts, but know this. You're not alone in the struggle. This struggle was felt by a young family in Bethlehem on the first Christmas. I want to tell you, your true family writes themselves into your story. Can you say that sentence with me? We'll pop that up on the screen. Your true family writes themselves into your story. Mary was rejected at no fault of her own. People closed the door on Mary, but Joseph wrote himself into her story. There's a scripture about he was going to put her away quietly. Even that act was beautiful, because under the law, he could have had her stoned. She could have been killed for infidelity before that marriage was finalized. Joseph not only didn't put her away quietly, he stood beside her all the way, even though it cost him, even though it strained his relationships, even though it may have absolutely ended relationships, even though people looked him in the eye. And you can imagine these conversations. They look at him with that angry face, with that shaking, I don't understand you. What are you doing with that woman? And he says, I love her, and I believe her, and an angel spoke to me. And they're like, bah, you're crazy. We have Joseph. Good on Joseph. You know, there aren't enough sermons about a good man named Joseph. Woo, Joseph. My gosh. Woo. To be like Joseph. Write yourself into that story. He was a earthly father to that son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was a carpenter, just like his earthly dad. Good on you, Joseph. Woo! At the cost of what others thought to him, he chose Mary, and he chose a miracle son. Joseph wrote himself into the story. Others also wrote themselves into the story. You want to look at some scripture with me? Let's look at it together. Come on. Luke chapter 2. It's the same chapter. Verse 8. And there were shepherds. Shepherds, no one thinks highly of shepherds. David the shepherd was left out. Almost missed his own coronation, right? His own anointing of king. Being a shepherd. Nobody thought high of shepherds. Well, shepherds living out in the field nearby keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord, we sang about that glory, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. If you're terrified, it doesn't mean you're out of the will of the Lord. Right there, take that. Luke 12:2-12. This will be a sign to you, the angel says. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. When the angels had left those shepherds and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." You know, this thing that no one wanted to be a part of? This thing that they shut out of their homes? This thing that was put in a stable? Let's go see this thing. It's the thing of the Lord. Let's go and see this thing has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, who are they talking about?
Jesus.
They're talking about your Jesus, y'all. When they saw that baby, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds to them. But Mary going through all this hardship. I love this. Call Mary. Woo. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She went through so much hardship, but these beautiful moments where someone wrote themselves into her story, she treasured them, and they were stored somewhere. Where were they stored? In her heart. Let that preach to you right now. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The shepherds wrote themselves into the story. Verse 25, same chapter, Luke 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. This is like 8 days later. They're going to have Jesus circumcised. Simeon, who was righteous and devout, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him. Who's him? Jesus, that baby, in his arms and praising God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." Who's the servant he's talking about? Himself, Simeon. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Are there any Gentiles in the room that are happy about that? The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about them. About him, the baby. Can't you see them just storing that up in their heart?
Yes.
Treasuring it. Simeon, he wrote himself into the story. Verse 36, same chapter, Luke 2. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then she was a widow until she was 84. What a sad story. She's just a sweet lady, loves God. She was married for 7 years and then spent the rest of her life, didn't get remarried. She just never found anyone else. She just was in love with that guy. What a cool person. Man, we should preach more about Anna. What a cool person. She was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple. Never left the temple. She was there constantly. But worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. I'm telling you, there's something powerful about a woman of God who fasts and prays and is always found in the temple.
My God.
my God, there's something powerful about it. Anybody have a woman like that in their life? Oh, Hazel Fluid, I love you. My gosh. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. A prophetess named Anna wrote herself into the story. We'll jump a chapter now. Let's go to Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, you might call them wise men, from the east were coming to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Let's skip it on down. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. When they opened their treasures and presented him, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Magi, we don't know much about them, but we know that they wrote themselves into the story. On and on the Gospels go, people writing themselves into the story of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, people write themselves out of your story. Your true family writes themselves into your story. This even happened in the life of Jesus. There's a time in Jesus' life where he's in the house, he's in a house, and his actual mother, Mary, and his brothers, his family, comes to the house, but there are so many people in the house that they can't get in. And so they're a little bit, I think, ticked off by what happens here. They send Jesus out, tell him his family's outside. And somebody comes in that goes, there's this lady outside named Mary. She looks really mad. I'm adding this. I don't know if that's in the actual Greek. But what they do tell him is, hey, your family says they're outside. There's these people calling themselves your family outside. You should go talk to them. And he says, who are my family? You are my family. You are my brothers and sisters. What is he saying there? You are riding yourself into my family. All you that are hearing the gospel and in the house with Jesus Christ. And it could be that even at that moment, Mary could have been riding herself out of the story of Jesus Christ if she's not careful. In fact, we know that James and Jude are the brothers of Jesus, and they write themselves completely out of the Gospels. You don't see them written in the Gospels. It is after the resurrection they find alive Jesus Christ, and they realize he really is the Messiah, and it is then that they write themselves into the New Testament, into the story. They even have books in your New Testament, James and Jude. People write themselves out of your story. It stinks, but it happens. Let me tell you, your true family writes themselves into your story. If you aren't careful, you will only focus on those who write themselves out of your story. Isn't that right? Yeah. And you will forget about all the crazy, wonderful family members who have chosen to write themselves into your story. There is difficulty and there is struggle, but there is also crazy, wonderful blessings in your life. Do you see them? Are you thankful for them? Are you celebrating them? It's crazy, wonderful. Can you say those two words together? It's crazy, wonderful. Jesus, you come into earth, is crazy, wonderful. I pray you have a crazy, wonderful Christmas. I pray that you recognize your true family. I hope you understand that you have true family in the room with you right now. Some of you, you aren't able to be in the room, but we are your true family and we love you so much. I pray that you realize God has written himself into your story. He has invited you to be in his family. John 1:12 says this, "Yet to all who did believe in him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Through Jesus Christ, he has written you into his family. Do you receive Jesus today? Do you believe in his name today? Will you do that today? Are you a child of God? Are you? That's a real important question. You should not say, well, I don't know. That is not good enough. Well, maybe. It's only maybe better. Don't do that. You need to know that you know that you know that you are a child of God. That you've believed in Jesus. You've received him and you've believed on his name. Will you write Jesus into your story today? This could be the most crazy, wonderful Christmas of your entire life, even with all the drama going on. If you have never received Jesus, I want to tell you, today is your day. Meet us in prayer. Look me in the eye. Look, come right to me and look me in the eye and say, I want to receive Jesus. You can do it today. Have you believed on his name? You online, leave a comment. Get in touch with us. We want to make sure that you become a child of God. It's what really matters to us. You children of God, you that know you're children of God, can we spend some time thanking our crazy, wonderful Jesus for writing himself into our story? Come now. Come do it. As I pray, I want you to...
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.